This is Phil Farron. And I am driving away from home. Long story short, it is Wednesday because tomorrow is a holiday, Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. The major client that I work for decided to give all their people a half a day as well today. In addition to Thanksgiving, which is tomorrow, and Good Friday, which is Friday. So they gave them like 2.5 days of vacation this week, which is very nice of them to do that. What that meant, though, was that where I was intending to go in for a full day today, I would have been going in for a half day today. And I am determined to buy a car today. So I was trying to save a little time, so instead of going in, I just worked from home. So I spent the morning working from home, got my finances all taken care of, which is normally what I do on Wednesday night. And now I'm actually heading into town, and I'm going to pick up my wife, and we're going to go look around at some cars and try to get this whole car thing worked out. Car shopping, not my favorite thing to do. It's just, I like to get good old cars and just have them go. But, you know, we looked it up and we've been driving that little minivan, that Toyota Sienna 2004, for 12 years. And it's been a great little minivan. So, you know, 12 years, you can't go wrong with that. I think we spent about $14,000 to get that after trade-in and all that kind of stuff. And you know, you drive it for 12 years, that's like $1,000 a year besides regular maintenance, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So we're looking around. Of course, cars are more expensive now for what you can get. And we've done a little snooping here and there and looked at a couple of different things, but I finally just started getting on all the websites and doing the lookups. We may be taking a trip to Joplin today. There is a mini Toyota Sienna 2011 down there. Has 141,000 miles on it. And in the past, of course, I'd never even dream of buying something with that many miles. But in this day and age, you know, you could conceivably get 10 years out of that. Because these new cars go a lot farther than the old cars did. So my little preacher car that I'm driving, that's my dad's, has 91,000 miles on it, and I expect to get, you know, maybe another 40 or 50,000 out of it. But of course, when things start breaking on a Lincoln Continental, things start getting expensive. So we'll just see how that goes, and we'll drive the wheels off this one. Doesn't help that when I rammed the car into the curb during International Dog Day. You can look back in August of this year. There's an International Dog Day podcast in there. Doesn't help that when I rammed the car into the curb and blew the tire out, I bent the strut and kind of messed up the tie rods a little bit. I'm getting that fixed next week on the Lincoln Continental. Hopefully that won't be too much. And I'm replacing the shocks, because the air shocks with the bladders, the airbags, and the air compressor and all that kind of stuff is on its last legs. So we're going to just replace them with regular spring shocks. So a little bit of work to do here. But, of course, the big thing is my wife's minivan has croaked. And I mentioned that last week. So we're praying. We're looking. We're praying. We'll see what we end up with. I mentioned last week that I would go and look up and see if I had mentioned Dear Santa Week 2 weeks ago, and I went and looked it up and I didn't. So I can give you, it was Dear Santa Week this last Friday. It was actually, in reality, Dear Santa Week the second week of November, but I celebrated my midlife crisis on the second week of November. So I didn't do Dear Santa Week on the second week. I actually did it on the third, and actually I didn't even know it was Dear Santa Week, but that's sort of the punchline for some of what I'm about to say. I think some would be surprised, and in fact, I have seen some be surprised that Jesus would care about the crazy outfits that I wear. That Jesus would have an opinion on them. And certainly, some would doubt that Jesus would assist. But to those, I offer you this story. So, I told this story some on Dear Santa Week, but here's the long version of it. I did International Mustard Day this last year at the last minute. I mentioned that on the podcast. And Jesus helped me get that all taken care of. And I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, four or five weeks ago, I was thinking, well, okay, if you do International Mustard Day, you should just go ahead and do International Ketchup Day. Because you can do basically the same thing. For International Mustard Day, I got a Zenti suit with an open face on it, which is a full body cover suit. It was yellow, found a t-shirt, put a logo on it, found some yellow shorts that were about the same color, found some yellow shoes. Yellow! Mustard. Good. So, of course, if you're going to do ketchup, red. Ketchup. Good. I did locate on Amazon. Haven't ordered it yet. Have it in my cart. Saved. Kind of vintage Heinz ketchup t-shirt. It's pretty cool. I like it. So I had that, and International Ketchup Day isn't actually until June the 5th, which is obviously in the middle of next year, so I have plenty of time. And by the way, it's on the same day as National Donut Day, which I was taken to task last year that I did not celebrate National Donut Day, because Walmart gives out donuts on National Donut Day, and the head of the bakery had this big donut inflatable lifesaver on it, on her, and she was dressed in bright colors, and I came walking in, and she said, "Where's your donut outfit?" And I went, "What?" She said, "It's National Donut." "Oh, are you kidding me?" So, of course, I'm going to have to do something this year, and I'm already working on that. So I'll probably slide International Ketchup Day on one side of that and do it. But it's going to be real simple. So five, six weeks ago, I'm fiddling around, and this thought comes to me: you should order the red Zenti suit with the open face. You should order that now. And I'm thinking, what? I got half a year. Well, you could go ahead and order that. You know, I got half a year for it to come in. It'd be fine. Well, but you could order it. Okay. So I go and order it. It's $20. You know, it's $20. Postage paid from China. And a couple of weeks goes by. Shows up. Try it on. Good. I'm good. Everything's fine. So I think, well, okay, I got this. Then I come across this t-shirt. And I may have mentioned the t-shirt, but the t-shirt has the devil on it, and he's looking at a little girl, and there's a Christmas tree in the background, and he's holding this letter, and he says, "I got your letter," and this little girl is staring at him wide-eyed, wondering what in the world is going on. Well, the t-shirt, if you look at the letter, if you don't look at it closely, you think it says, "Dear Santa." But in fact, it says, "Dear Satan." So so I saw this t-shirt a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and I bust out laughing. I thought, that's funny. That's funny, because I had to look at it and then look at it again. So I decided, okay, I'll order that. So I ordered it in, and then I got it in, and then this little thought said, "Of course, you've got that red suit." Oh, right. I thought, you know, I could. So I ordered some shoes. And then this thought was like, you can get some horns and a tail. And I was like, no, I am not getting horns and a tail. Well, you could just look on Amazon. So I look on Amazon. And they have a set of Christmas horns, because they have the little fur around the base of the horns with a tail. And I was like, it's like $8. Okay, fine. So So I go ahead and get that, and I've got the shoes, and I got the whole outfit, so it's fine. Then, I periodically check to see what days are coming up, and I'm looking at the days. There's not really anything, not really anything, not really anything. But then there's, on the same website I use, there's a month's and a week's, and so I click on the week's, and it says, it tells me that the week before I'm going to do this was Dear Santa Letter Week. And I'm like, okay, there you go, score, we're done, we're doing this. And it was fun. It was a really good combination, because I'm walking in, you know, I've got these Christmas horns on, I'm wearing this red suit, I'm wearing this t-shirt that you can't really read, and if I turn sideways, you see I got this little upturned tail coming out from underneath the t-shirt, and of course everybody's like, what, you know? And then they read the t-shirt, and then they laugh. So I went to Walmart, everybody laughed, they loved the t-shirt, you know, blah, blah, blah. I went around, did my little shtick with everybody, everybody had a good time. You know you've got a good t-shirt when you're walking by someone who you have shown the t-shirt to, and they go, come here, come here, come here, show her the t-shirt. You know, so I go over and show them the t-shirt. So Walmart was pretty straightforward, and it was fun. And then I went over to my major client, and that was fun. One of the things that's funny is they have a new administrator up with the department that I'm working on. And when I was in costume, I never saw the old administrator. Never. I think every time I've gone up there with a costume on now, I have seen the new administrator. It's like, what? Do you have radar or something? What in the world is going on? But there were a lot of fun moments. You know, I went around, visited people, and they laughed, and we had fun. And one department was all having a meeting, and they were doing some kind of joint exercise where they were stuffing checks, doing something. And I knocked on the door and came in, and they all hooped and hollered. We went out of there, so it was fun. It's fun. It's fun. One thing that was fun, and I'm kind of hurrying along because I do have something to get to today, and I'm getting close to my destination. One thing, a couple of things that were really fun. The head of one of the departments that I work with, I dropped in to see her. I didn't see her because she wasn't in yet. And so I'm coming down the stairwell, this six-story stairwell. I'm coming down this stairwell. And, you know, I'm getting ready to leave the building. And I get down to the second floor landing, and I look down to the external doors. And here she comes in. I went, oh, okay, great. So I do kind of the standard thing that I do when I'm in one of those situations. I just kind of freeze and just stare at them until they look at me, which that had happened at Walmart too. And I got the same reaction. They bust out laughing, and, you know. So she came bustling. She had her coffee, you know, she had her notebook and all that kind of stuff. And she's got her arms full, and she bustles in. And before she starts up the stairs, she picks up her head and she sees me, and she just goes into gridlock for a second, and then she busts out laughing. She just busts out laughing. And then she stops and she looks at me again, and then she busts out laughing again. And then she stops, and then she looks at me, and then she busts out laughing again, and she actually leans over. She's laughing so hard, she leaves. And so then she comes up, and so I say, you gotta see the t-shirt, you gotta see. So then she sees that, and we laugh and we chat. And you know, her mom is on a slow decline at this point. And so she stays with her mom some nights, and her sister stays with her mom some nights, and then the brother comes during the day and relieve him. And so, you know, she was coming in from that, and she said, you know, my mind was going on 90 things at once, all the things that I gotta get done. And, you know, and then she looked up and saw me, and it was just like, so we had a moment. It was lovely. She did establish a new scale for me. Now, we're all older adults, so we understand this is all fine. And she was climbing up the stairs. She was shaking her. She said, you almost made me pee my pants. So I have a new scale. So it's smirk, grin, smile, laugh out loud with snort, laugh out loud with tears in your eyes, laugh out loud, pee your pants. So that's like the pinnacle. if I If I can get there, that's the pinnacle. Anyway, so it was fun. The other fun thing that happened is I repeated the outfit on Saturday morning because I hadn't been to Cracker Barrel on Friday. I normally go, but my buddy who I was going to have breakfast with on Friday morning, he got really busy and so he couldn't make it. And so I didn't know until like 10:30, otherwise I would have just invited somebody else. But I'm sitting there having breakfast with my buddy, and he had a fun reaction because when he read the t-shirt, he didn't read it, Dear Santa. He just saw Satan there and he thought, well, that's kind of weird, but he laughed. And then he kept staring at it and he said, wait a minute, that says Dear Satan. I said, right. And then he laughed. He thought that was funny. He said, that is excellent. I said, I know, it's fun. Anyway, so I am pulled up where I'm supposed to be, but I'm still finishing up the podcast. So I'm just going to text my wife real quick here and tell her I'm finishing up the podcast and I'll be in a bit. So let's see, finishing up the podcast. I'll be in a bit. So anyway, so that was fun. Well, we're sitting there having breakfast, and this older lady kind of walks up to me, and she kind of stops. She said, so is it Halloween? Or I think she said, is it Christmas at first? And I said, nope, no, it's not Halloween, nope. I said, you have to read the t-shirt. So I stood up, she read the t-shirt, and she laughed, and then we got talking, and they were coming from Michigan and driving through to Arizona, and her daughter had just bought this new RV and they were trying it out, and we were sharing stories and we're taking pictures and she's writing down my name, and you know, we're carrying on, and we get that all done, and then she eventually brings over her daughter and we gab and chat and all that kind of stuff. And I was needing to get to the children's rehearsal for the children's cantata that was Sunday night. And so, and I told them, I said, I'm really sorry. I gotta go. So they said, oh, that's okay. So, you know, we said our goodbyes and everything, but it was really lovely. It was lovely. And it was a nice combination and it worked well. So that was good. So that's the short version, shorter version of Dear Santa Week. It was good. It was good. Made a lot of people smile, which is the whole point. And tangentially, all of these outfits tie into what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm not going to get through all of this, so I'm just going to skim over it. And in fact, I'm going to break this up into two parts because I am sorry that last week was over 50 minutes. I wasn't paying attention to the time. I was just jabbering. So there has been an interesting thing going on, and I'm just going to report what I found in the YouTube video. I will summarize what I found in the YouTube video because it's 50 minutes long, just the YouTube video. I would recommend that you go and watch the YouTube video because there'll be a whole lot more information than what I'm going to talk about here today. But there, I've been waiting to find out about this phenomenon. The more I think that I understand about gender relationships, the more that I think I have a predictive model for not only male behavior, but female behavior, which is very useful as an author. The more I think I have that, the less some things have made sense to me concerning the whole transgender movement. And in fact, I had talked to a friend probably 2 months ago now, and I mentioned to her, I said, you know, I said, there's something I don't understand about this. I said, with what little I think I understand and have a handle on of women's experience in the world, I can't figure out why they would put up with the idea that a man could just have some things chopped off and some other things stuck in, and then all of a sudden he's supposedly a woman. And I said, I'm a little surprised that you know, women put up with this. And my friend said, well, you know, as women, she said, we're supposed to just kind of go along and be kind and be sweet. And, you know, she said, but she said, honestly, she said, you know, I think if I remember, she said, yeah, it makes me mad. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Well, then this last week I came across a YouTube video that's part of a series called Trigonometry. And it's just a couple of guys and they talk to guests. And one of the guests they talked to was Posey Parker. And I've got to make this fast because we have to go find a car. Posey Parker. And the name of the episode was Trans Women Aren't Women. And she went, they first of all asked her about her background. And she used to be, you know, left, liberal, left. And she joined this massive lefty forum, and there were all these amazing women. And she said by the time she had joined, there was about 500 members, and that went up to like 20,000 members. She said, and it's mainly women, very disorganized, having no clue, just whining about what was going on. But then something interesting started to happen, and she said there were men who started to come in and identify themselves as women. And she said, one in particular came in, and she said, he told this joke, I'm going to use he told this joke where the punchline was something like a feminist tied to my radiator in the basement after a beating or something. And she said it was some joke about male-on-female violence. And she said, you know, as a general rule, women don't tell those kinds of jokes, because we've talked about this in the past. There is gender-specific humor. And first of all, that joke is not funny. But that's an extreme example of masculine-specific humor. That kind of violence towards women. And so she just at one point said, so do you really consider yourself a woman? I mean, really, with that? And she said the guy just came unhinged. I mean, just vitriol and attack and blah, blah, blah. And actually, she started tweeting about some things, and she sent like 6 tweets, and the police ended up at her house. She's in the UK, and she was going to get charged with this, that, and the other, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, see, through all of that, you know, through all of that, she then developed this campaign because she was trying to say something that should be innocuous, because she knew the trans activists would lose their minds. And she was trying to illustrate the dynamics of what was going on here. And so she just came out with this t-shirt that had the word woman, and then the pronunciation of it, and then the fact that it was noun, and then the definition, an adult human female. That's all she did. Woman is an adult human female. And of course, you know, everything loses their minds. And she says, she starts talking about trans rights and those types of things. And she said, I don't understand what rights trans people don't have. She said, I understand that trans women don't have the right to grow a baby in their womb and give birth to a baby, but that's just biology. And she said, the only thing, other right I can figure out that they shouldn't have that they're getting is the right to invade women's spaces. And see, you know, I'm sure this was going on for a long time and percolating and boiling, but it never reached it never came over to my consciousness. I mean, but I've been waiting for this and I didn't go seek it out. It's been happening. I just didn't take the time to go find it, because this makes perfect sense to me, that women would get fed up with the idea that all you have to do is cut off a couple of parts and stick in a few parts, and then suddenly you can call yourself a woman. That's just, you know, silly. And she gives a lot of different examples. She gives an example of a guy who's on Big Brother, and he's shouting at a woman who's an 80-year woman's face, and he's shouting, I'm a real woman, and I did this, and you need to let that idea penetrate. And she said, I thought that was a very interesting choice of a word. And she said he absolutely acted like a man. You know, he massaged his naked, brand-new breast every night on television. And she said, you just don't see this type of behavior out of women. And she said, it's her contention that the majority of these trans women are, it's just a fetish for them. And it's beyond most people's fetishes, because people have a cross-dressing fetish. They take the clothes off. And she said, but then you have these other that have to go farther. And they're really just, you know, kind of in love with themselves. And so the moderators were saying, well, what's wrong with just, if the person's gone through all this, why can't we just call them a woman? And she said, well, that's the thin edge of the wedge. And what's going to happen is it introduces a lot of confusion. She said, for instance, she said, there was a man, there was some crime where like four quote unquote women attacked someone in the subway, she said, but it wasn't women, it was trans women. And she said, so you start skewing all the thing. She said, the way a man holds himself and conducts himself, she said, you know, men only look on the outside. They haven't really inhabited women's bodies. And so they only look on the outside. So it's a lot easier to fool men in terms of passing for a woman than it is to fool women. She said there's a set to the face. There's, unless you spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in surgery. And so she said, when a man comes into what should be a protected women's space, she said, we feel that. And she said, I don't want my daughters exposed to that. And she said, there's a sort of mass gaslighting to say to women that they're not allowed to feel uncomfortable. They have to go override these feelings. And she said, that's already happening in schools and in places with girls. And we're doing so in adolescence and telling, you know, our young girls that they should just be accepting of all this. And, you know, boys who identify as women should just come into bathrooms. And she said, we've got, they're telling kids in elementary schools now that, she said, you've got a thick pink Barbie thing at one end, and the other end you've got like a brown G.I. Joe thing. And there's a spectrum of colors between them. And she said, they're telling kids that they should pick where on the spectrum they think they are. Because if it's a boy and he pinks pink, well, obviously he's a boy in a girl's body and he should have some kind of gender reassignment surgery, which that's being pushed younger and younger now, I'm sure you're aware of. And she said, I just think we have these terrible rates in things like math and English and all that sort of thing. And I don't know why schools have to be teaching children trans theory. So, and she talked about the fact that it's really kind of a gay conversion therapy, because in the past, if you had a boy who was effeminate, well, he probably grew up to be a gay man, and now he's effeminate. Well, no, now we got to turn him into a girl. And so she went through all the things like that, and it's 50 minutes long, so it's really interesting, where she's looking at the behaviors of men who have transitioned, and she's saying, look, they're not women. You can tell in the way they hold themselves and the way they talk about themselves, there's not women. And she doesn't know why, for this small group, we have to weaponize empathy just so that they can feel more comfortable. And she talked about dysphoria and how there are other types of dysphoria. There are people who feel like they should be handicapped and they really shouldn't have an arm, and they want the doctor to cut off the arm, and we don't do that, and blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, there's the whole situation with the prisoner who identified as a woman, so they put him in a female prisoner, and he was a rapist, and he went on to rape women in prison, you know, or rape a woman in prison. Well, this is pretty predictable. And she just, I mean, I think she expresses a lot of great things in this whole thing. And I have to go. But I heartily recommend that you listen to some of her talks, because she has a really interesting viewpoint. And I think it's absolutely valid, the viewpoint. And next week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about where I think all this transgender stuff really birthed out of. What was the big push for it? And, you know, based on the subsystem analysis of the gender relation stuff. And I think we can make a case that this really got started with men and has been pushed by men, and it has succeeded as much as it has specifically because of lust and fear. But we'll talk about that next week. This is Phil Farron, and I have not made it home.